Now, we're going to start off this afternoon by discussing a story you're going to be hearing about a lot on the news today. And it is the Human Tissue Bill, which is expected to pass through the Oireachtas later today. And what that effectively means is that all adults automatically become organ donors unless they choose not to be. Now, just to put that into context for you, at the moment there are 601 people waiting for a transplant. And of course that number will rise and is expected to rise over the coming years. So what does today's bill mean for those who are really sitting by the phone waiting to hear of news of an organ donor? Well, I'm joined on the line by Colin White. Colin is the Irish Kidney Association's National Advocacy and Projects Manager. Colin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Deirdre.
Now, would I be right in saying, first of all, that what we're doing now is something with this opt-out clause? That's something that's actually been done in other countries for many, many years.
Yeah, in various forms, opt-out has been on the scene internationally in different countries. I think it's important to understand the legislation and the changes it will bring. We need to kind of understand where we're at now, how the system currently works.
Okay.
So to be a potential organ donor, normally it would be a case of you would be in an intensive care unit on a life support machine when they eventually, unfortunately, lose the fight to save your life. And at that time, you would be declared what's called brainstem dead. And it's only at that then that organ donation becomes a possibility. And that's when the family would be approached for consent to organ donation. So if the family say yes, organ donation goes ahead. If they say no, it doesn't go ahead. So that's the current system. The system under the new legislation, when it comes into effect, will be that an opt-out register will be available. So those who would rather not be considered potential organ donors can sign the official opt-out register. And in those cases, their families will not be approached should they die in the circumstances needed to be a potential organ donor. And then that leaves everybody else. So everybody else, the official line is will be considered an organ donor, but I think it's probably more accurate to say will be considered a potential organ donor, because the family will continue to play a key role here. Under the current system, we kind of talk of family consent, that the family consent to organ donation. If you want to be very kind of tautological about it, under the new system, it should be the family will assent, because the question will be kind of, rather than asking for consent, it'll be, is there any reason why you think your loved one would not want to have donated their organs?
And how has that worked in other countries, Colin? Have people by and large been happy to have their loved one's organs donated?
I think people are happy, and this is where the IKA were very clear on our messaging around this, and it's the same message that we've always had around organ donation, that letting your family members know in advance is what makes the difference. So today, having a conversation and sort of saying, listen, I heard a piece on Radio Kerry this afternoon, and I think I'd like to be an organ donor if I die in the appropriate circumstances. And it's giving that knowledge to your family, so in the event of you being a potential organ donor, they know what the what your wishes are. Like in the UK, where they introduced the legislation, they're slightly different in that they have an opt-in and an opt-out register, so you can actually record your yes to organ donation as well as your no to organ donation. And they found if they had a specialist nurse and the person had not recorded their wish to donate, they had about 57% consent. But if they had a specialist nurse present and the person had recorded their wish to donate, that consent went up to over 90%.
My goodness, as high as that. So, Colin, will this do away with the need for those of us who have organ donor cards to carry them? Will we not need them anymore?
No, I don't think so, because like the purpose of the organ donor card is it's an icebreaker to the conversation. So today we might have a reason to have the conversation because there'll be media coverage about organ donation for transplantation and the huge impact that it can have. But kind of in the day-to-day, getting an organ donor card is a way to broach that conversation at home, because like it's not normal kind of dinner time conversation. So
yeah.
If you go onto the IKA website, ika.ie, request your donor card, have it sent out to you, then it has a space on the back of it for signature of next of kin. And really what that is doing is giving you that in to start the conversation with your family. I got this donor card today and I need you to sign it. And then you have the discussion, and then hopefully the entire family all share each other's wishes. And so it means in the event of someone being a potential donor, the family know what way to go. And I think, like, as obviously as a patient organization, the Kidney Association, we're very focused on all those people who are awaiting a kidney transplant. Like as you said, there's 601 currently active on the organ waiting list, but like there's well over 2,000 people who are currently on dialysis treatment as well. So there's a lot of people out there in the, let's call it the organ failure community. So we do represent them, but we've also got to remember the donor families. And I think it's been quite interesting over the years listening to donor families talking about that decision to say yes. And many times they've described it as the one bright light in a very dark time.
Indeed.
And so I think in saying yes to organ donation, not only are you giving the gift of life to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other people, and obviously the ripple effect that has on their families, etc., but you're also leaving a very positive legacy to your family. Like the Irish Kidney Association, we run an annual service of remembrance and Thanksgiving every year, and like we literally have hundreds of families turn up year after year after year to remember their loved ones, and kind of to fondly kind of remember the fact that they did give life. And we have transplant recipients and their families also come to the service, and they're there to give thanks and to acknowledge that this kind of circle of life is a pretty special part of humanity. Like it's very much kind of man's humanity to man that like we need to see more of, let's be honest.
Colin, what reasons might people have for wanting to opt out of the scheme? I mean, to me, it would be a no-brainer. I would think, well, I'm not around anymore anyway, so do what you will with my organs. And I would imagine that most people would view it like that. But obviously, there are people who are not so comfortable with the idea.
There are, like when Wales introduced an opt-out register in 2015, like in the first 12 months, approximately 6% of the population opted out. And there'd be a variety of reasons. Some, it would be the mistaken belief that it was against their religion. Like a lot of work has gone internationally into kind of encouraging religions to kind of expound on this topic and kind of highlight the fact that they do support it, and it is a very positive part of kind of their religious beliefs. You would have others who, you know, would just the idea of it, is it just doesn't sit well with them, so they've decided that they'd rather not. And I think like we have to respect that people are entitled to make their decisions. But I think what we need to realise with this legislation is it's not the government getting permission to take everybody's organs. What it is kind of opening up the idea that organ donation is the societal norm, that it's kind of part and parcel of life, that to try and encourage everyone to think of, well, yeah, if I die in the right circumstances, I want to be an organ donor, and because I realise the difference that it can make in the lives of others.
Do your organs become less useful as you get older, or is that a factor at all, Colin?
Yeah, when a potential donor is identified, like let's say you have an older potential donor identified, when it comes to matching, like matching can be very important, particularly with the likes of the kidney, they would take age profile into account. So like if you had a donor in their 60s, you might be looking at a potential recipient in their 60s.
Okay.
So you kind of have a like for like. Now, we do have plenty of cases where you'd have an older donor giving to a younger recipient, but ideally you try and age match as close as possible.
And I know you mentioned kidneys there, and we're all familiar with lung transplants as well, but what other organs can be donated for transplant?
The heart, the liver, the lungs, the pancreas, and the kidneys can all be donated. I would count myself in the fortunate position of I've been with the Kidney Association for 19 years now, and I've got to meet so many transplant recipients, heart, liver, lung, kidney, pancreas, etc. And when you see the effect on their lives, the lives of their families, when you see the level of appreciation, the acknowledgement, the realization that at each kind of life milestone, there's that sense of, I didn't achieve this myself, it's kind of me and my donor are in this together. You often hear people how they would describe it.
Yeah.
Like the likes of the World Transplant Games, where we regularly compete, you will see recipients, maybe they're on the medal podium, and they give the nod upstairs to sort of say, kind of, myself and my donor, we achieved this together. And I think it's important to realise that recipients that very much acknowledge and are constantly thinking of their donor and their donor family, like particularly when it comes to the anniversary of the transplant, but I think throughout the year, like it is there that kind of I'm getting to, as I say, mark this life milestone or whatever because of my donor and their family.
Exactly. Briefly, Colin, because we're almost out of time, the Human Tissue Bill, as I said at the outset, is expected to pass through the Oireachtas today. So when does it come into effect, if you like?
Yes, the $64 million question.
Yeah.
It passes the Oireachtas today, then gets sent to the President to be signed into law. And then because it's quite a comprehensive piece of legislation, the expectation would be that different parts will kind of come into effect at different times. Like, it is very encouraging to see the government announce today that they're allocating $1.6 million towards kind of putting some of the parts of the legislation into effect. So it's not just words, that they're starting to kind of back up the words with the ability
with the
to act on them.
Listen, we better leave it there, Colin, but I know that from covering the whole area of transplants for 30 odd years, I know that this is a big day and a huge step in the right direction for the Irish Kidney Association, and indeed specifically for people who are on the transplant list, be it for a kidney or anything else. So we'll be watching the story very carefully. But listen, thank you for joining us and explaining the whole thing to us in such a comprehensive and clear manner. We really appreciate it. And
A pleasure. And if I can just very quickly say that the Irish Kidney Association, we are exceptionally pleased to be one of the recognised charities in this year's Ring of Kerry cycle.
Oh yes, absolutely. I knew that as well.
Teresa Looney and our branch down there are doing Trojan work now in preparation for that.
They are indeed. And hopefully we're loads of money will be raised for it.
Indeed.
Colin, thanks a million. We let you go. Thanks a million for joining us this afternoon. And that is Colin White there from the Irish Kidney Association talking to us about the news that the Human Tissue Bill is expected to pass through the Oireachtas later on today. And that will mean that all of us will automatically become organ donors unless we opt out, unless we go to the trouble of opting out and saying that we specifically choose not to be one. So maybe there are people out there who have thoughts on this. Maybe for whatever reason, you would not like to be an organ donor. Maybe you might tell us why. It would be very interesting to hear. 083 300 3300.